Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is chapter 2 of Antilila, describing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowers Nakula Brahmachari. Yesterday, we read that Lord Chaitanya, by his choice, he can empower anyone, anywhere around the world, to spread Krishna consciousness, that he personally enters the bodies of devotees. And it says, Sabadesh. It doesn't say Bharatvarsh, it says Sabadesh. Sab means all, and Desh means countries. So in any country of the world, it says to deliver people and regions throughout the universe who could not meet him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally entered the bodies of pure devotees. This is Antilila chapter 2, verse number 13. Tasava tarite prabhu se sabadesh yogya bhakti jivedehi karina avesh. Avesh means to be absorbed in, or to enter. We say griha pravesh, mandir pravesh, means to go inside. So this comes inside us. This shakti, this potency comes inside the devotees. And it's very interesting that Krishnas Kaviraj is saying in any country, in regions throughout the universe, where people don't get a chance to meet Lord Chaitanya, Jiva Dehi Karina Avesh. He goes inside the body of the Jiva. So this is quite appropriate to describe how an international society for Krishna consciousness, devotees around the world are spreading Krishna consciousness, and they're preaching in Russia and Japan and Africa and all over the world. And they're not even born in India. They may be Russians themselves or Americans or whatever. But Lord Chaitanya, he's entering them. He's doing it. Actually, Lord is doing it. What can we do? We can't do anything. And the purport we heard, Prabhupada quoted another verse about this Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. That in Kali Yuga, the Dharma, Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. The Dharma is Krishna Nam. And this, we see that Krishna consciousness is being spread around the world. Devotees are going out and inducing people to chant the Maha Mantra. And by the association and encouragement and instruction of that devotee, be that devotee Russian or French or German or Indian or whatever, that conditioned soul takes up chanting and they move on the path of perfection. So even right now, today, and in 2006, the same principle is being enacted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still empowering people all around the world. And some of you may be some of those empowered representatives to carry out the will of Lord Chaitanya. It's nothing mystical. It's not some mystical thing. It's not some magical thing. It's the will of the Lord. He simply enters into you and uses you as an instrument, as Krishna used Arjuna as an instrument to execute his will on the battle of Kurukshetra, nimitta matram. So then that was the principle. Krishna's Kaviraj introduced the principle, and the style of preaching in our Gaudiya Sampradaya is that the preachers will introduce the principle, and then they will explain the principle by citing examples of the principle. In technical terms, this is called tattva-vichara and lila-vichara. It's not, we don't just tell lilas, this lila, that lila, this lila, that lila. And even while telling lila, or the pastimes of the Lord, even intimate pastimes in Madhurya Ras and Vrindavan, there will be so much interlacing of tattva. And you see that in the Rasa Panchadaya, in the five chapters describing Krishna's intimate dancing and kissing and embracing and all features of love, Madhurya love and Rasa Panchadaya, Rasa Lila. Even in the midst of all that intimacy, that Madhurya, that sweetness, there's so much philosophy being exchanged. Prikshit asks questions, how is it possible that just by meditating on some boy with lusty feelings that these gopis can become purified in this rasa dance? And then Sukadeva explains. So there's always tattva, the truth, the absolute, the metaphysical principles, the metaphysical truths are always interlaced or interfacing with the lila. If it's only just philosophy and no lila, I guess a little dry. And we get bored. And if it's only lila without philosophy, we can become offensive. And we can become doubtful. And moreover, if it's only lila without philosophy or tattva, our faith may wane, or we can even become agnostics or atheists. So therefore, both are required. So we can, as preachers of Krishna consciousness or as practitioners, we should always keep this in mind, that we should always introduce Leela and with support of Tattva, or Tattva should conclude with Leela. So the Tattva was that Lord Chaitanya does this. He empowers people around the universe. So then someone says, really? Well, you're saying that. Are there any examples? Is there any, like we say, we're talking about Ruchi and Bhajan. Does anyone have Ruchi and Bhajan? Well, no, no one has it. No one has Namruchi, but we can talk about it. Well, then it becomes empty. It becomes just empty words. There must be some examples of what you're teaching. Otherwise, people will not be encouraged. So we can say, well, I read about Ruchi and Nambhajan. I don't have Ruchi, but I know someone who does. Aindra has Ruchi for the name. And that seems obvious. And maybe if I associate with him and hear him chant the holy name and I do some service to please him, he may also bless me. Like this. So there are examples of all the stages of devotion. There are examples of those in Anartha Nivritti. Lots of examples. We ourselves may be good examples of someone struggling. And then there's Nishta and Ruchi, etc. So the example was given. There's one brahmachari named Nakula. And then some of the characteristics were given. He was Parama Vaishnava and he was Bhara Adhikari. Bhara Adhikari means he was heavily, he had many good qualifications, good qualities. And now the story goes on about the empowering of Nakula Brahmachari by Lord Gauranga. Gora Deshera Loka Nistarita Manohoila Nakula Uridaya Prabhu Avesha Karila. To deliver all the people of Bengal, Mahaprabhu entered the heart of Nakula Brahmachari. So it's very specific. The Lord has a desire to deliver people all over the universe, which is divided into different countries and places. And to accomplish his work and fulfill his desire, he utilizes different individuals in different regions. For example, you or I may not know the Russian language, but there's somebody in Russia, there's some devotee in Russia, he speaks Russian very well, and he's also very well learned in Tattva and Leela, and he has the qualities of an advanced devotee. So Lord Chaitanya enters his heart and says, you should be guru. You should help the people of Russia, because you're Russian, and you can speak Russian. So then that person, he surrenders to the will of the Lord, and he becomes an instrument in the hands of Mahaprabhu. And his name is Bhakti Vigyan Goswami. Or even a more remarkable situation is that a devotee is born in Scotland, and he knows English, and then he comes to India, he serves in India for many years, and he learns Bengali fluently. And then his Guru Maharaj inspires him to go to Russia and preach. So he goes to Russia and he's preaching through a translator. And then he's thinking, this is not the best way to preach. I should learn Russian. And Russian is not an easy language to learn, I'm told. And certainly I can't figure out how to read it. If I look at Russian, I can't figure out which way to go or where to start. So then Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya wants to use this person to spread Krishna consciousness in Russian, so he learns Russian very nicely and he starts preaching and giving the Vaishnava initiation. And his name is Prabhavishnu Swami. I think he's born in Scotland or maybe Ireland. Ireland, excuse me. He's born in Ireland where they speak English, which is a relatively easy language. And then he learns Russian, not as a young boy, as an elderly man, when it's hard to learn, actually, when you're old. And especially languages. They're easy when you're a child. Actually, they say, the scientists, the brain is easy to learn languages as a young boy. So in this way, even today, we see these pastimes going on. So this particular pastime was preaching in Bengal. And so Lord Chaitanya needed a preacher. He needed someone to preach in Bengal, like he needs people to preach in Russia and France and India and everywhere. So he empowers different individuals. In this case, he empowered Nakula Brahmachari. Nakul Ridaya Prabhu Avesh. He entered the heart. Graha grasta praya nakul prema vishtahan hase kande nache gaya unmatahan. Nakula Brahmachari became exactly like a madman, haunted by a ghost. He says, That's interesting that Bengali is graha grasta prai. Like we hear this term, Vaishnava prai. It means almost Vaishnava. And grasta, graha grasta, I don't know exactly what that means, but it's interesting. Grasta sounds like ghost. Grasta, ghost. It says graha grasta. Graha is like griha, it's almost like the house of his body. It was almost like he was haunted. Prema vishtahan. So what was he haunted by? He was haunted by Prem. Now we're haunted by the witches of Bhukti and Mukti, Pishachi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says elsewhere that our advancement is blocked because witches are living in our heart. The witches of desire for material enjoyment and desire for liberation. So here, the witches are out and now the ghost comes in. The witches are killed, the witches of material desire are driven out, and the witches of the desire for liberation are driven out. So when you drive out these two witches, then you can have a ghost. Then you can have a ghost come in, the ghost of Prem. You become like a man haunted by a ghost. Hase kande nache gai unmatahan. So unmat means uttama mata or uttama mad. Mada means intoxicated or mad. And uttam means extremely so or topmost. So he became unmata. So he, it says, prema vishta. Because he was overwhelmed by ecstatic love of God, he sometimes laughed, cried, danced, and sometimes chanted like a madman. Hase kande nache gai. So this is, we might be afraid when we hear the description here. That if Krishna touches you with his Sarup Shakti, if he mixes his Sarup Shakti in your heart, then you'll go wild. You'll go crazy. And you may have some hesitation or doubt. Well, maybe I don't want this Krishna Prem. Because people in society may think I'm Pagal, or I've gone mad. Because it appears here, it says exactly like a madman. Unmata, just like a madman. Haunted by a ghost, graha grasta prai. And all these symptoms, he was laughing and dancing and crying. So, of course, Prabhupada often would say, he would write about the material world, and he would say, they say, the newspaper people, the modern materialistic people, mundaners, they say the Hare Krishna devotees are crazy. They're mad. Jumping up and down on the street corners, Hari Bol, and shaving their head and giving up all the good things in life like meat, fish, eggs, intoxication, cigarettes, booze, wine, women, gambling. Giving up all the fun, good things in life. Living a very austere and restricted lives. They must be crazy. So Prabhupada, he wrote one article in BTG. I remember 1975, we were distributing this and that article was there on one issue. Who's crazy? It's called Who's Crazy? Are we crazy or are they crazy? So from the Vedic perspective, the perspective of civilized human beings who are called Aryan, those that are progressing towards self-realization or God-realization, we are perfectly sane. We are normal, correct, proper human beings. And everybody else is crazy. So Prabhupada used to say, it's okay to be crazy for Krishna. Even if you say we are crazy, then we're crazy for Krishna. So when we actually become fully Krishna conscious, we may exhibit the symptoms of a man haunted by a ghost or a crazy person. But that will be welcome. If we become, in a material world, if you become ghostly haunted, then you're segregated from society, or you're castigated, or your people will find fault. Say, oh, you, I think you're a ghost. We should exorcise the ghost. But if you become ghostly haunted in Krishna consciousness, then everybody will grab your feet. Everybody will grab your feet and say, please bless me with the ghost. Please give the ghost to me. Please make me crazy. Can you embrace me or teach me or touch me or somehow make me crazy like you? I want to be crazy for Krishna. The Krishna crazies. I get some t-shirts, right? Crazy for Krishna. So now these are some symptoms of a crazy man. So we should be careful about becoming crazy, because we may be overwhelmed with these symptoms. Ashru kampa stamba sweta sattvika vikar nirantara preme nritya sangana hunkar. Nakula Brahmachari exhibited bodily transformations of transcendental love, sattvic vikar. He cried, he trembled, he became stunned, he perspired, he danced in love of Godhead, and made sounds like those of a rumbling cloud. In the rainy season, you hear this blah, 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 this kind of reverberation. A cloud will reverberate with a very deep and resonating sound in the sky. And sometimes it's even frightening, especially to a young child who doesn't know so much what's going on in nature. Lightning is striking, boom, and then the clouds go, blah, 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 blah. Oh, what's that? And there's stories, we read stories about Nimai Pandit and Gopal. When Gopal was living in Gokul, in the rainy season, these storms would come in, these lightning and thunder, and Gopal would become very frightened. And he would jump out of his little cradle and run into Nanda Baba's room and jump in his bed. Daddy, Daddy, it's Pralaya, you know. He thought it was Pralaya or end of the world or something, and boom, 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 you know. And sometimes even the ground can shake. When a lightning bolt strikes the ground, the whole ground can shake. It's like a mini atomic bomb going off. It's quite devastating. Taichi gora kanti taichi sada premavesh taha deki bari aise sarvaghoradesh. Nakula Brahmachari's body shone with the same luster of Mahaprabhu, and he showed the same absorption and ecstatic love of Godhead. People came from all provinces of Bengal to see these symptoms. So apparently, when he became empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was a wholesale transformation in his character and his appearance. He became Gaurakanti. He became very golden, like Gaurangi, very golden color, shining, effulgent, radiant complexion, with all the Maha, I didn't say Mahabha, but at least you can say the prema of Gauranga, as described here. And then he became like, it was almost like the circus is coming to town, or the tall man, the 8-foot tall man comes to town, everyone wants to see him, or the fat man. Or circus has all these different features. Yeah, the tallest man in the world will be in the circus, and you go and see this giant man. You know, I remember when I was a kid. Or the fattest woman in the creation. Some fat lady. Like a wife of a sumo wrestler or something. So people want to come and see the strange, the odd, the unusual. We become attracted to these things. So if someone has love of Godhead and exhibits some extraordinary divine symptoms of ecstasy, then people want to come and see. I have a practical experience of this when we were staying at Radhadamodar in Sevakunj in 1991. The pujari there, one Bengali, he was a Baba, Babaji. He was doing puja. He was a young man. He was a pujari. He was cooking and doing puja. It was one-man show. And one morning, about 11 o'clock in the morning, he was sitting, taking darshan of Radhadamodar. Then he had darshan of Radharani. This is the story. That he, as he was looking at the deity, somehow Radharani, rather than just showing her features, apparently as an Archamurti, she gave him Sakshat Darshan. And then and for some reason the effect on him was that he went a little like this crazy, like it says, Unmata. And he started screaming, Radhe, 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 and very loud and making a lot of noise. And then the Nirmal Chand Goswami, who is the Saivite of the temple, he came out, and I was in Prabhupada's kitchen, and I came out, and he was just like this. He was and then when we went to see him on the altar, he looked quite normal all the time, but all of a sudden he looked, like it says here, it says graha grasta praya, that Nakula Brahmachari became almost, it says praya, but Prabhupada says exactly, but in one sense it also means almost like one haunted by a ghost. Or as Prabhupada says, exactly, like a man haunted by a ghost. And that's what he looked like, because I never maybe you've seen, but I never had darshan of anyone who had darshan of Radharani, or claimed to. And he said, you know, no one really knew what was going on at that point in time. He was saying, Radhe, he was kind of like, just really like gone a little crazy. And he was quite a balanced person up until that point. And so he was just saying, Radhe, and then the Sevite, he said, lock the door, because no, it was around offering time, 11 o'clock, right before the time offering. So there was not many people in the temple, so he locked the door, because the Pujari had gone crazy. So he had to make some rapid managerial adjustments here. When you have a temple, four sets of Radha and Krishna deities, and a big Irad Shila and a bunch of Shalagrams, and all of a sudden your one and only Pujari and cook goes crazy. You have a catastrophe on your hand. So the first thing he did was lock all the doors and cut all the communication systems. That was a pretty clever move. So then he tried to preach to the guy. I mean, I was busy with Prabhupada's offering also, so I came briefly and went back. But he was trying to preach to him to kind of snap out of it and, you know, forget about this darshan and get back to business, you know. But he was absorbed in his own rapture and experience. He was just Radhe, just staring into space with this really otherworldly look, like a madman, really. He's like, you know, I don't know, you can't imitate him, but that I saw directly. So then he got one of his sons to finish that afternoon puja, and then do that offering. Then he opened the doors for the 12 o'clock arti, and he just left the pujari there, and he was kind of contained a little bit. Then the arti was going on. He was just looking at Radharani, and they were saying Radhe, and, you know, like kind of like new Brahma, you know, new Bhakta or something. They go snap out sometimes, you know, when they're coming down from some high altitude travel, and they go look a little crazy sometimes. And so he said Radhe, and then he just bolts. I mean, he jumps up and bolts out of the temple, which means he runs out of the temple, and who knows where he went. And then what he did is that he ran over to Nidiban. Nidiban is a place where Bankim Bihari manifested, and Haridas Swami would do bhajan there. And it's a place where Radha and Krishna and Sakis take rest. Not all the time, but many times after Ras Lila, they rest there in the groves, and nice flower beds are prepared there. So he ran over there, but the doors were closed because they had finished their darshan over there. So he was like, Radha, let me in. And he was like climbing the gate, like, you know, practically scratching and trying to climb up, but you can't get inside so easily. So then a bunch of Brijvasi men who recognized him as a Radha Damodar Pujari, they kind of wrestled him down, and they brought him back to deposit him at Radha Damodar. I said, here, he belongs to you, I think. Try to contain him. So then people left Nunartik and they locked the temple again to lock in the Pujari there. And then I came out and I talked to the Gosai. I said, what happened? You know, what's going on here? And then it was so funny the way he said it. He said it as if it's just like someone would say, did you see the morning paper? Did you see the paper this morning? He said it very casually. I said, what happened? It seems like he's like really gone strange, you know. I said, where did he go? And he said, oh, he ran over there. And it was like very commonplace, matter of fact. Then he said, what happened? He said, oh, you know, we had darshan of Radharani. Then he turned around and he walked into his room. Like, yeah, he had darshan of Radharani. And he walked away. And I was like, oh yeah, hey, I had darshan of Radharani. I was like, every day it happens. And then when he said it, and he was like about to walk away, I said, wait a minute. I mean, this happens all the time. I mean, it's going to happen to me too. And, cause I'm also staying here and, you know, I'm going to go crazy. Cause I had second thoughts that maybe I thought I wanted to have darshan of Radharani. Then when I saw this guy that did, I had second thoughts, you know. Because he went so bananas, you know, like crazy. So then he said, it happens sometimes. There was some Pujari before, about 15 years ago. He also had darshan Radharani. So for him, it was, this happens, you know. I was like, so I was duly impressed. So the Pujari, he got a little vacation there. He for about 5-6 days, he was in his, like we say, catatonic trance. He was really in a trance. He would just He would calm down. He would just, someone else is doing the puja. He would just sit there in the same spot where he sat. He had the darshan of Radharani. He would sit in exactly the same spot. Of course, people always do that anyway. When they go to Bhagavatam class, they always sit in the same spot. But he sat in the same spot, and then he would just stare at Radharani all the time, just like, you know, with this really ghostly-like look on his face, like, you know, just look at Radharani for about a week. And then he was cooled down and came back to his senses and started doing puja again. So what I'm telling is, because this verse is saying that everyone came from all over Bengal to see Nakula Brahmachari because he had transformed. So what happened, when they closed the doors in the afternoon and they kept they brought him back from Nidiban and kept the Bajari in the temple, I went out to take snan. And there's a kind of Prabhupada's front door. I can go out privately, enter and come back to the temple. So I went out to Yamuna, took snan. And as I was walking to the Yamuna, because people recognized me as from the temple, did you hear? Did you hear the news? Bajari had darshan of Radharani. You know, hey, you know, he had darshan of Radharani. It already spread all over Sevakunj and maybe the whole three worlds. I don't know. But I was going down through Sringarbhat and out to the Yamuna. Hey, Maharaj, did you know, how's the Bajari? Is it all right? I said, yeah, I guess so. He's all right. You know, he had darshan of Radharani. It was like, it was the talk of the town. Because in the back of everybody's mind, this is everyone's goal. And many Brijvasis, especially Bengali Vaishnavas, they would really like to have that more than anything, darshan of Radharani. Certainly we wouldn't deny it if it was offered to us. I don't think we said, no, it's okay, I don't need it. It's quite all right, I don't need to see Radharani. We'd be thrilled to have such fortune. So he became quite famous, and even by within a half hour. So then when the doors opened at 4 o'clock, he was sat in this position and was looking at, then all these people came from all over the neighborhood, all these Bengali ladies, and they started going up on the altar, Baba, Baba, you know, and they wanted to touch his feet. Then he freaked out. And he was sitting there content in his own, you know, meditation or samadhi, whatever. People were coming up, Baba, Baba, Kripa Karo, Baba, Kripa Karo. You know, and trying to grab his feet. And before, they didn't care anything about him. He was just some, you know, just another Pujari, big deal. You know. But now that he had this title and this fame, he became the goal of everyone's life. So he said, hey, stop, you know, leave me alone, stop. You know, he's like really got so agitated and disturbed. Then he jumped up and he ran away again that afternoon. And he came back again late at night. And then he stayed, he continued his service, as I said, and then after about a month or so, he just disappeared and he left one morning. I don't know where he is. Somewhere around, wandering around Braj or something like that. So here it's telling that people from all provinces of Bengal came to see these symptoms because his body was shining with, he became Gaura Kanti, Sada Prema Vesh. He was completely, always absorbed in love of God, ecstatic love of God. And people from all over Bengal came to see these symptoms. As I mentioned, of the different samskars which make impressions on our chitta, of the different sense impressions which affect the condition or the surface, you could say, of our chitta, the most powerful sense impressions are the visual. What we hear and what we taste and touch do not make as much impression on the chitta as what we see. Because the nature of the chitta is to take itself, it has some basic form, primordial form. So it actually, the chitta itself wraps around form, rupam. But shabda or sparsha or ganda or rasa, these different sense impressions, they're sense stimulants. They make some impression or etching or in the chitta, but not as powerful as visual. That's why everywhere in the yoga system, they're always talking about what to do with your eyes. Bruva madhya. Krishna says, bruva madhya. In Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is telling you should stare, you should focus your attention on the point between your eyebrows and keep your eyes half open. This is mentioned in the yoga chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bruva madhya. Bruva means, it's interesting, it means eyebrow, bruva. And madhya means middle. So the idea is that the eyes should be half open, because if you close fully, you sleep, and half open, then you don't really see the objects of this world. There's some little bit of light comes in your eye, which keeps you awake, but you can't make out the rupam of individual objects, so your chitta doesn't become affected, and you can meditate and try to find some peacefulness. Then, so therefore, all the people in Bengal, they want to see prema. They want to see the symptoms of prema. Because even in the West, it's a very popular expression, seeing is believing. You must have heard that. Seeing is believing. And although, ultimately, shabda is more important in terms of shaping consciousness, but in terms of impressions, seeing is very powerful and very impressionable. So if we read all about bhaktas are like this, and they have these symptoms and that symptom, and we hear about it with our ears, and they shed tears, and they tremble, and this and that. We hear all about it. But if we never see it, it doesn't quite grab us so much. But if we actually see somewhere, in some private way or some confidential place, not some sahajiya, but from Bengal, but some actual devotee who, in a candid way or a private way or a secret way, is exhibiting symptoms of prema, and somehow we catch a candid glance of that, it will make a very deep impression on us. Like, say we go in a room and there's a devotee, a very renowned and advanced Vaishnava, and he's just sitting in the chair chanting. And then we go in the room and we go in and he's like, eyes are closed, but there's tears coming down, and you see his upper lip is trembling, and there's different symptoms of ecstasy being manifested on his body. He doesn't even know you've come in the room, so he's not making any show. See, look at me, I'm a big devotee or anything. Not making any show. And then you see that, you can never forget. You can never forget. It really, it's like someone takes an electric carving, drill or something, and carves your chitta, takes a chisel and chips out your chitta like a piece of marble. It's called indelible impression, deep impression. We had the fortune sometimes to see some very advanced devotees, and they were exhibiting different states of pure devotion. And because I remember once there was one devotee who was upstairs in his temple chanting, and I said, where's the Maharaj? I said, he's up chanting japa. He's by himself. I said, well, can I go there, or can I just sit there and chant, or will I disturb him? And they said, go, but go quietly, just go. You know, because the brahmacharis are kind of gracious, they're kind to each other. So especially if a sannyasi comes, I have some regard. So we went very quietly, and then we had this experience, which we described in brief. So in the same way, all these people of Bengal, they wanted to come and see. We're reading all about this prema, and we're hearing about prema, and that's our goal, and all these things happen, but I never saw anybody like this. Let's go see, Somebody's like, trembling, Radhe, Radhe. It's actually like out of control. I mean, it's like, it's a sight to behold. So then when they came to see him, did he just say, oh, they're all here to see me, so let me make my show. Let me show all these ecstatic symptoms. No, as soon as they came here, then what did he do? Jare deke tare kahe, kaha Krishna nam, tanhara darshanai loka haya premodham. Nakula Brahmachari advised whomever he met to chant the holy names, Hare Krishna. Thus, upon seeing him, people were overwhelmed with love of Godhead. Prem Udham. Lokahaya. Tanhata Darshane. So oftentimes we hear that people are going to take darshan of a sadhu. So we have darshan of so many sadhus and so many so-called sadhus, and nothing happens. But we're hoping that someday we'll have a darshan of this type of sadhu, who is prema uddhama, highly elevated in love of Godhead. And then when we see that sadhu, we may also become overwhelmed by his kripa and also advance tremendously in Krishna consciousness. So that principle is also valid. It's a valid principle. It's a valid principle in spiritual life to seek the darshan. He gave them some instruction also. He advised them, Yare deki tarikaha, kaha Krishna nam. Take Krishna's name, chant Krishna's name. Prabhupada translates it. Actually, I've mentioned this before. I often thought to do it, and I would call it Chaitanya English rendition of Chaitanya Charitamrita, a tribute to Srila Prabhupada. I had the thought, and maybe someday I may put it in practice. But in this, in the word-for-word meaning, in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada gave these, I believe so, I may be incorrect, I believe that Prabhupada gave the word-for-word meanings. But then he gave the English translation also. Well, because time was short, and he knew that he would leave any time, he wanted to give us this great treasure of Chaitanya Charitamrita, so he very quickly translated it. Because when you read the word-for-word translation, you see so much, it's very more exact actually. He doesn't overlook any lines or any phrases. But when he puts it into English, he kind of overlooks some minor word or this or that because he's in a hurry. The English is also perfect, no doubt. But he's also, basically I had the mood, he's saying, listen everyone, I'm giving you the word-for-word, but I'm in a hurry, so I'm quickly translating it. And my disciples, if you want to know all the word-for-word, or anyone, it's here. If you want to put it together and get deeper understanding of it, then you can look at the word-for-word. So it's similar here, because he says, for example, he says, Kaha Krishna Nam, he says, my dear friend, chant Krishna's name. But here's the translation. He advised whomever he met to chant the holy name, names Hare Krishna. Says, chant the holy names, Hare Krishna. But you see how sweet it is, word for word. My dear friend, chant Krishna's holy name. So you could take these and then phrase and make very, very sweet and more specific, in one sense, translation. And it's all Prabhupada, because he gave the word for word. You understand the point I'm making? So it's very important for us to look at the word for word, because it's like you can have sweet rice, you make the sweet rice, and someone comes in and says, oh, he made the sweet rice, it's already done. Oh, it's really nice. Savi Sachin made sweet rice. I think I'll roast a few cashews and throw them in there. So he roasts a few cashews and throws them in there and says, actually, he didn't put any elaichi. Oh, I think I'll grind some and put some elaichi. And then you serve it out and you say, who made this sweet rice? And you say, oh, Savi Sachin. And you say, Savi Sachin. And then they meet Savi Sachin and say, wow, you made really good sweet rice. You know those cashews and those elaichi? What? I didn't put that in there. it's your sweet rice that somebody added. But in this case, you know, you got the cashews and the lychee came from his kitchen. You went in his kitchen and used his spices and dried fruit to enhance his sweet rice. So in the same way, it's like this with Prabhupada. Chaitanyara Veshahaya Nakulara Dehi Shuni Shiva Nanda Aila Kariya Sandehi. When Shivananda Sain heard that Mahaprabhu entered the body of Nakula Brahmachari, he went there with doubts in his mind. Kariya Sandehi. Pariksha Karite Tanra Jabe Itchahaila Bahire Rahiya Tabe Vichara Karila. Desiring to test the authenticity of Nakula Brahmachari, he stayed outside thinking as follows. This sounds like some of our Russian friends. They're very like scientific type. And because Russia is famous throughout the world for making the first Sputnik and rocket and many, many things. They're very brilliant scientific people. And I mean, America's always trying to say they're so big. But usually they just steal some secrets from Russia. The Russians are very clever in these scientific things. That's a fact. And they've benefited India a lot over the last 50 years, helping India so many ways. India and Russia are very tight. Or they were, when Russia was like one country. So now, Shivananda Sain, he says, what is it? Everyone's telling this guy's got prema and all these ecstatic symptoms, he's really advanced and you should go meet him. I'm going to check this guy out. I think he's fake. I don't think he's really got the stuff. I think he's making a show or he's profiling. You know, he's just profiling or trying to collect a following or he's trying to get some rich people behind him and build a big temple or something. Or big Goshala. So then Now, this is what he's thinking. This is the thinking of Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen is, who is he? We say in the morning, he's one of the Sakis. He's one of the, I don't know if he's maybe one of the Asta Sakis, maybe Shivananda. We remember Govindananda and Thakur and maybe Indu Lake. I think he's one of the Asta Sakis. What a runner around, he's Asta Sakis, I think so. And Krishna Leela. So here he's thinking, Apane Bulana More, Iha Jari Jani, Amara Ishta Mantra Jani, Kahina Apani. Tave Jani Yanhate Hai, Chaitanya Avesh, Eta Chinti Shivananda Rahila Dura Desh. He's thinking, Shivananda's thinking, if, because he wanted to have some test, some way to examine him, if he's so advanced, if he's so special and so spiritually astute, then he should be able to do special things. If Nakula Brahmachari personally calls me and he knows my worshipable mantra, he says Ishta Mantra. In other words, mantra is kept secret. The name of your guru and your mantra you get from guru is kept secret. It's called secret mantra. And so that no one knows that. That's kept, only guru knows and you know. So this is the most confidential thing, that because people may have confidential things but they share with their wife or their husband or one friend. But the mantra from guru, one is not supposed to tell anyone. So no one knows except Shivananda Sen. So how is it possible for Nakula to know? So he chose, if he knows this is the secret of all secrets, if he knows my mantra. If he personally calls me and he knows my mantra, I shall understand that he is inspired by the presence of Mahaprabhu. In other words, I'll understand that he's super soul realized. Because if you're super soul realized, then you can read another person's mind. Of course, you can also study Tantra and worship. You can worship Hanuman and get the power to read other people's minds. It's also a siddhi. There's 36 different siddhis that one can attain. And one of them is reading another person's mind. The Ashta siddhis are there, very big siddhis that requires big austerity. But it doesn't require very big austerity to get the siddhi or the perfection of reading someone's mind. And this is a cheap thing that cheap tantrics do. So you go in there and say, yes, you're thinking this. And you go, oh, he read my mind. Oh. Then he says, yes, now I can do your chart for $501. I can cast your chart for $501. Then you're thinking, oh, he read my mind. He must be so... It's like this kind of cheating. So there's 36 different types of siddhis. So, but at any rate, he wanted to test him on this category because he could understand that this was his test to understand. Thinking in this way, he stayed some distance apart. So Duradesh, Dur means far or difficult or hard. So Duradesh, like Duracell batteries, right? They're supposed to last a long time or be hard, or hard batteries or long-lasting Duracell. So Asankhya Lokera Ghata Keha Aise Jai Lokera Sangate Gheya Darshana Napai. Large crowds of people were coming and going. Indeed, some people in that great crowd could not even see Nakula Brahmachari. So many people were coming to take darshan of the pink elephant. You know, if somewhere in the jungle there's a pink elephant, hey, yo, in the jungle there's a pink elephant. Really? Yes. And he has three noses. He has three trunks. Three trunks. And he has six tusks. Everyone will run there so fast just to have darshan, because not so much they're curious, but they don't want to be left out. It's more like that. It's not the curiosity that we're interested in. We're interested in the prestige. Because when everybody comes back to town, they say, did you see the pink elephant? And if you say no, then you'll feel, they'll say, oh, you said, oh, you didn't see. You'll feel really bad. So you don't really even care to see the pink elephant. It doesn't really matter to you. But what matters to you is what people think of you. What people think of you in a village. It's called prestige or pratishtha. So you say, yes, yes, I have to go. And you run. Then you come back and you say, yes, I saw the pink elephant. Oh, okay, you're all right. You know, you saw the pink elephant. So everybody had to go see this pure devotee, this Prema Vishta, Unmat, this madman, this crazy man, this ghostly haunted Prema Bhakta, Nakula Brahmachari. Did you see? Oh, I didn't see. Oh, I had to go. Do you know at Madan Mohan Temple, on top of Dwarasaditya Tila, there's Madhav Das Baba. Do you know how old he is? He's 125. He's 125. Didn't you see him? No, I didn't see him. Oh, come on, I have to go. And you go up there and you see him. So I was told that years ago, like 1980 or something. So he wasn't 125, he was only 100 then or something. So then I said, oh, I have to go see that. And he said he's Siddha and he's Ritta and Ditta and Bitta and everything, you know, so, because Siddha means perfect and Ritta means full of wealth. So Siddha and Ritta. So then I went up there, and I went first to Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, and I paid dandavats, and I was just chanting some prayers. And then there was some man in there who was cleaning, and he came out, and he looked like he was about 50, like 60. I said, excuse me, you know, have you seen, do you know where Madhav Das Baba is? He's supposed to be around here somewhere. He said, that's me. He said, I'm Madhav Das Baba. I said, oh, acha, oh, dandavats, you know. Because he's supposed to be 100, now he looks 50. Now he's like all like twisted around. I said, okay, well now what? Okay, now here he is. And he says, and he speaks only Bengali and Hindi, right? It was a little bit of English. And I was with one person, Hindi person from the temple. So he sat on his little bed. His disciples brought a little bed out for him, and we chatted for a while. So everybody, and I would meet so many people come from Delhi. And they say, you know, did you see so-and-so? You know, did you meet, you know, invited? When I met him, he was 100, and then the people in Delhi were coming the same year. Say, oh, he's 135, he's 145. In 1 year, he aged 40 years. Or like Deora Baba. Deora Baba, he lived across the Ganga. He's dead now. But he was like a yogi come, like Ram Bhakta. And he had long hair and jat, and he lived on this little bamboo shack on stilts. Because he lived near the bank of the Yamuna, right up near Keshigat, a little bit down from Keshigat on the other side. Now you see this white building there. It's called Jal Samadhi. Some saints, they don't like to be burned or dig some hole in the ground and make the ground all dirty with their body. And they don't want to put a bunch of salt there. They have different moods. I say this Brajabhumi is full of Radharani's tears and the Gopi's tears. And why should I put my dirty body in the soil? You know, they have this bhav. So they perform a type of samadhi called Jal Samadhi. They just take their body and they say, Haribo. The disciples throw it in the water, and then the turtles say, all right. Then the turtles have a big feast, and they eat up his body in about 3 seconds. And then in that area, usually on the bank of that river or whatever, they make some stone or samadhi, or really nothing a lot of times. But he was such a great siddha yogi. He was a siddha yogi. He lived to be like 275 or something like that. He was 275 years old. He had met Mahatma Gandhi, and he met all the Gandhis. He met, you know, Nehru and then Mahatma Gandhi and Rajiv Gandhi and this Gandhi and that Gandhi and all of them. And so many saints. You know, he was a very famous person, Deora Baba. And there's a whole book about him, picture book and everything. And once some people from Delhi, some of my Punjabi friends, they came down and said, oh, we want to go see Deora Baba. Will you come with us? And I said, because I'd already seen him a few times, and it doesn't, not much, I don't know, I didn't, much happened to me. So I said, I'll go there if you take me to Mansarovara. Because Mansarovara is also on the other side of Yamuna, and I'd rather take darshan of Mansarovara than Deora Baba. Because it's a place of Radharani's Man Leela. So they said, okay, we'll take it there. So they took me to see Baba, I mean this Deora Baba, and there were three or five, Grihastha families, and they had big baskets of fruit and so many things to give the Baba. And then I was just standing behind them, not paying too much attention, just letting them do their thing. And he had one servant that was taking care of him. And Baba would sit up on his little, he had like a veranda on all four sides of his shack, his little bamboo-like kutir. He would just sit there. He was naked. He never dressed. He never wore any clothes. And so he had a little wall there so you could see his beard, and you could see his chest and up to his head, but down below was covered by the bamboo. And he just sit there giving darshan certain hours of the day. Like this. So these people were there, and the servant said, so what do you want? And he made people keep quite a ways far away, because he knew all about karma and all these things. And if people get within a certain distance of you, then there's a transfer of karma and all, so many laws. So they had to stay about 50 meters away, or no, 30 meters away from him, take darshan. You couldn't get any closer. He was a yogi, you know. So then we were all standing there. And so they told the message, and then he went and he looked up. He said, Baba, today is New Year's Day, and these people want your blessings so that they can, you know, whatever, make money or whatever. So they want your blessings, Ashirvad. So then the Baba went like this with his hand. He went like this, right? And the people didn't know. They thought maybe that's some way of giving blessings, right? Because they just saw. Because I saw too. We didn't hear what was going on, but we just see like this. Then the servant came back and he said, "You people should get out of the way. You know, move out of the, get out of the way." And so they got out of the way. And then the Baba went like this to me. And I know that in India, I mean, that means come forward, but I was just a little bit like standing there. And the servant says, "Hey, Baba, go forward." So I went right forward to about 10 feet away, right, you know, like he was right there. It wasn't so high, it was about 8 feet high. And then he just said something like, I don't know, "Pura Ashirvad Lelo," or something like, please take all my blessings. So I said, "Thanks a lot, Hare Krishna." I don't know what, maybe I took him and I lost him somewhere along the line, but anyway, he signaled us out. And once we came there in 1988 with the Brajmandal Parikrama, we were doing Vrindavan, and Govinda Maharaj, he was a Yodhyapati then, he was leading Kirtan, and he was just joining us for a short part of the walk on the Brajmandal. And many devotees from Vrindavan Temple. We were walking through that forest of from Bandiravan to Bajravan to Lohavan, and we went through and to Mansarovar. So somehow we came through his ashram. And we were going that way through the ashram, and he was over by the Yamuna. And so we didn't really know so much about to go over there. And we went near some of his disciples to go to Mansarovar, which is behind there. And his disciples said, "Don't you want to have darshan of the Baba?" I mean, we didn't know anything about the Baba. Dina Banda wasn't with us, and he probably knew already about the Baba. It's 1988. So we said, "Oh, okay, the Baba. Okay, let's see the Baba." So then we went there, and Yodhipati, or Govinda Maharaj, was leading Kirtan. And we went there, and the Baba was sitting there. And there was many ladies and gents and about 200 devotees. So we went in, and so, you know, he started exciting, you know, ecstatic Kirtan, this Govinda Maharaj, just because we're going to see the Baba and want to, get, like, make him happy. So we're chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," like that. And so then the Baba is sitting there, he was going like this and like this, and then he was going like this, and then he got so excited he stood up, right? He said, "All right," but then he realized, "Oh, I'm naked." "I'm naked, there's all these ladies there," right? So he said, "Oh." He felt a little shy and he got back down, right? So then then his servant said, "Come closer," and Baba said, "Come closer." So he came close, and then we stopped the kirtan, and he said, "I bless all of you." He said, it isn't translation, it's Hindi. "So I bless all of you." He said, "Do this Nam. Do this Krishna Nam and Ram," because he was like Ram Bhakta, like Ramanandi Sadhu type. He said, "Do this Nam. Do this Krishna Nam and this Ram Nam. This is the only thing that will save the world. Do more Nam. I give you all blessings. Do more Nam." And then the second thing he says, "And take care of the cows." We have to take care of the cows. We have to protect the cows. They're killing the cows, you know, because he's lived 275 years. And 275 years ago, they weren't like going crazy in India over all this stuff, you know. And these were two of his principles. Rajiv Gandhi used to come by helicopter to see him and just land there by helicopter from Delhi and take blessings. And the last time he met Rajiv Gandhi, he told him, because this is quite famous in Braj, Baba told him, he said, "Listen, I'm so much giving you ashirvad to progress in politics and everything because I like you, I like your family, because I know your father, grandfather, everybody. But listen, you have to use your power and your influence to stop cow slaughter in India. And if you don't do this, you're going to have it's going to be not so good for you." So then he went back to Delhi and he didn't do anything about that order. And about a month later, he was like Haribo. You know, he got some garland around his neck and the garland was full of dynamite or something, RDX or something. And ba-boom, you know, he was blown to pieces. In South India, one girl came up, was all arranged, and she had the garland. The garland was full of bombs, and it was remote control. So they offered, "Here, oh, welcome to a program. This is in Tamil Nadu, in India, right?" And they put it on Rajiv Gandhi, the Prime Minister, and then from a distant place, you know, they had like binoculars. And they went, and they found his shoe. His shoe was found like half a mile away. The girl was blown up, he was blown up, security guard, like 10 people died, you know. His body was all over the place, you know. So, you have to be careful when sadhus give you an order, you know. It could be dangerous. So, So now Shivananda is trying to test, is this Nakula, is he real, a genuine thing? So people are going, coming and going. There's so many people, you couldn't even see Nakula Brahmachari. Avesha Brahmachari Kahi, Shivananda Achedure, Janadui Chori Jaha, Bolaha Tahari. In his inspired state, in other words, he was in Avesh, and that is probably, this is very, it says inspired, and the word for word is, in that state of possession, he was possessed. You know, he was possessed by love of God. And in his inspired state, Nakula Brahmachari said, Shivananda Sain is staying quite a distance away from me. Two of you should go call him. So, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people coming to see Nakula Brahmachari, and way far away, like say I'm here and so many people are coming, but over in Radha Colony, somewhere in Radha Colony, which is somewhere way over there, Shivananda's staying there. If he knows, if he's so empowered, he should know I'm sitting over here. So he understands. Chari dike dhyaloke Shivananda bali Shivananda kona tomai bolaya brahmachari. Thus people started running here and there, calling in all directions, Shivananda, Shivananda, whoever is Shivananda, please come. Nakula Brahmachari is calling you. Shuni Shivananda Sena Tahan Shigroila Namaskara Kari Tanra Nikate Vasila. Hearing everyone calling for him, Shivananda went there quickly. He offered obeisances to Nakula and sat near him. Brahmachari Bhale Tumi Karila Samshai Ekam Manahana Shuna Tanhara Nishchoy. Nakula Brahmachari said, I know that you are doubtful. Now please hear this evidence with great attention. Gora Gopala Mancha Tomar Chari Akshara Avishwasa Charaje Karyachantar. You are chanting the Gaur Gopal Mantra, composed of four syllables. Now please give up the doubts that have resided within you. Tabe Shivanandera Mani Pratiti Hoila Aneka Sammana Kari Bahubhakta Koila. Shivananda Sain thereupon developed full confidence in his mind that Nakula Brahmachari was indeed filled with the presence of Mahaprabhu. Shivananda Sain then offered him respect and devotional service. E Matta Mahaprabhur Achintya Prabhav Eve Shuna Prabhur Yaiche Haya Avirabhav. In this way, one should understand the inconceivable potencies of Mahaprabhu. Now please hear how his avirbhav takes place, how he manifests in different places. So this is an example of Nakula Brahmachari, how he became empowered by the Lord, and he passed the test of Shivananda to prove that he, in fact, had some special powers given to him by the Lord to read the mind and heart of Shivananda, and in such a way that he convinced him. Just like we heard the story, there was a doubting man in the darshan of Prabhupada in Bombay. Prabhupada was giving darshan, but when he was giving darshan, all these Indians were seeing that for 1 hour Prabhupada was engaged in talking about money and business and all this. And the man said, listen, I read Gita, and Gita says, Satatam Kirtiyantamam. The saintly person is always chanting. But I see all you're talking about business and money and books and shipping and this and that. And I don't see you're always chanting. And so Prabhupada says, okay, why don't you come here? Put your ear to my back. This is a story that the devotees from Bombay Temple tell. So he put his ear to Prabhupada's back. Then he heard inside Prabhupada's body, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So then he said, oh, Satatam Kirtiyantamam. Actually, you're always chanting. So in this way, he tested Prabhupada, and Prabhupada passed the test. So this is the example that Nakula Brahmachari, he passed the test of Shivananda. And anyone who's empowered by Lord Chaitanya, he will always pass any test or obstacles that he may face. So tomorrow, we'll read the story. Of course, there's one purport here. What is the four-syllable Gaur Gopal Mantra? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the Gaur Gopal Mantra in Amrit Pravaha Bhashya. The four syllables Gauranga, right? Gauranga. That's the Gaur Mantra. But pure worshippers of Radha and Krishna, they accept the four syllables Ra, Da, Krishna as the Gaur Gopal mantra. That's very interesting. So whether you chant Gauranga, then you have Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna, or you chant Radha Krishna, then you also have Radha, you have Radha and Krishna and also Gauranga, Gaur Gopal. In other words, Gaur Gopal means Gauranga, or Gaur Gopal means Gauri, Radha, and Gopal Krishna. Vaishnavas consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu non-different from Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anyan. Therefore, one who chants the mantra Gauranga and one who chants the names of Radha and Krishna are on the same level. So tomorrow we can read the story of Sri Chaitanya glorifies the cooking standard of Raghava Pandit.